Okay, the way you say today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We're holding four lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. And now the Gemara is going to tell us a very fascinating halacha. What happens if I want to give you a present and you don't want the present? Can I force you to take the present or not? Zoki Mar Omid Vina Mishmuel HaKoysim Nechosav Li Acher. A person writes out his nechosim to someone else, puts it down in a document, the Omani hands it over to the recipient and says, here, I'm giving this all to you. The Omar Allah Efshibahan. I'm not interested. Shkoyach, I thank you very much, but do me a favor, take it back. What's halacha? Kana. He gets it. He's kana. Vafila oimid vitzaveach. Even if he's standing there and screaming, I don't want it, I don't want it, he gets it anyway. Now before everybody begins to scream, we'll see in a moment, it's not so simple. No, if he says, I don't want it, you can't force someone to go and take this matana, this shtar. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. So on the surface, it certainly sounds like we have a big machlaikas here, right? Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, Yekana, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Loikana. There's no machlaikas at all. It really depends on the fact pattern. And that is, kan betzavach meikara, kan beshoisik meikara v'lepsoif tzavach. If initially, when the person who wrote out all the nechosim li'acher, he hands it over, and as soon as he gets it, he says, what is this? This is a shtar. What type of shtar? Shtar conveying to you all of my lock, stock, and barrel, or whatever nechosim. No, I don't want it. Here, take it back. Then everybody agrees, leikana. You can't force somebody to take a present. Rashbam says, we know the pasuk in Mishlei. Soine matanas yechia. I want to live. I don't want any matanas. On the other hand, if initially he took it in hand, and he smiled, and he didn't say anything, and then 5 minutes later he says, I don't want. I decided it's not for me. The statement in the Mishnah, mar ben chosim, mar ben daga. I don't want it. I don't need these dagas. There's a Mishnah that says mar ben chosim, a person has too many chosim, mar ben daga. He gets a lot of dagas. He gets a lot of headaches. Worries. So my father, Chanav Rucha, used to say that he knew a person that when they were learning that Mishnah, he said, I've already had every single dog. Only this dog I haven't had. This dog you can give me. I've already had all other worries. This is the only worry that I never had. You can
give it to me.
This dog I'm happy to take. Anyway, so he doesn't want to. Everybody agrees. If initially he takes it, and then after that he changes his mind, he says, no, I don't want it. Sorry, so you're ready, we're coined. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that he has to hold on to it forever. Rishbam says he can go and be mafkirit. He can go and give this newfound matana to somebody else. But if he shows it, may karv b'sayf tzavach, everybody agrees, he's gone. Amram Nachma Yitzchak. I have a third case, and that's zikaloi al yedei acher v'shosak v'lubtsoif tzavach. What is this case over here? Instead of just having Reuven and Shimon, Reuven handing over the shtar to Shimon, and Shimon saying, either Tzavach screams immediately, or screams 5 minutes later, rather we're talking about three people. Reuven gives a document to Shimon and says, Shimon, I want you to be zoiche in this document and all in the chosim on behalf of Levi. And Levi is sitting there as this is taking place. Levi is mum, he doesn't say a word. Reuven hands over to Shimon. Zikaloi ayideyachri says, Shimon, do me a favor. You take the shtar and have in mind on behalf of Bizoicha, on behalf of our common friend Levi, who's sitting here. Mishosak, and he was quiet for the Psoif Tzavach. And subsequently, when Levi received the document from Shimon, then he starts screaming, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. What's the halacha now? Bono machloikis of Shimon Amri Rabban, we have a machloikis of Tanoim, until we had a machloikis of Amiroim, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Now we machloikis Tanoim, and the following brayse in the Sanya. Hakoyisim nechosav li acher. A person wrote nechosim for someone else, Reuven for Shimon. V'hoyu ben avodim. And among those nechosim, they were slaves. The Omar haloi, and the recipient says, Yafshiben, I'm not interested. Don't do me any favors. Soyne matonis yichya, keep it. Imhoyer rabban sheini koyin. If the second rabbi happens to be a kohen, in other words, the intended recipient who said no, but if he was a kohen, sorry, sir, hari elu oichlin betruma, the Avodim can eat Truma immediately and automatically because he was Koine, even though he said Efshiben. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oymer, Kivin Sheomer Haloi Efshiben, he says, I don't want it. Kvar Zochu Behen Yorshin, then the Yorshin of the first person. Rajbam says, Lav Davki Yorshin, it means the Noisein or his children, they get the Nechosin. Meaning, if he says no, is no. So it does not belong to the recipient, it belongs to the Noisin. And if the Noisin is passed away, then it's his children. Now, that's what it said in the Braisa. Vavinenbo. And as we learn the Braisa, the Chachamim were wondering, how can this be? The Tanakama, Afilo Oimel Vitzavach. What did the Tanakama say in this Braisa? Koisin Chosel Yachen. If there were Avodim, and the person says, Loi, I don't want it, Efshibahed. Sorry, it's yours. And the Avodim could start eating Truma if that second individual is a Kohen. Hey, me scream, I don't want it. It's Omer Rav, the same Rav Yechanan, Nochamu. Same thing as we learned a moment ago of Rav Abba Bam Amal. Again, if as soon as he hears from the Nosein, I'm giving you all of my Nechosim, here's the Shtar that has everything in it, and there are a whole bunch of Avodim. No, I don't want it. Take it back. I'm not interested. Everybody agrees, Tzavach Meikoroi, Loikoni. Like we just said a moment ago. And Faket, Shosek V'Lepzoif Tzavach, if he was quiet initially when he heard about this new largesse that he just received, and only subsequently did he said, you know, I changed my mind, I don't want it, take it back. It's already too late. He was Koina initially. So where is the Machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel? Oh, I'll tell you. Not Rebbe, Rabban Hashem Gamliel. Thank you. Keep Ligi, Shazikaloi Aide Acher. Oh, our case over here. That Reuven gave to Shimon the document. And he said, Shimon, it's not for you. Don't start smiling. I'm giving it to you. I'm an ass to be Mezaka on behalf of Levi. Levi was sitting there, Vishosak, and he was quiet. And after that, when he gets the document from Shimon, and then he starts screaming and saying, I don't want it. Take it back.
He has no chance to look at it, what he's getting?
No, okay, give him a minute when he looked at it, and now he's Tzavach, I don't want it. Now I have a Machloikis, Tanikama, and the Reb Shimon Gamliel.
Can you repeat the scenario where there's the Machloikis?
Sure. We have three individuals. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi.
Yeah.
Reuven is the Nosein Hamaton.
Right.
Shimon is going to be the intermediary Shliach, who's going to effect the Matana on behalf of the ultimate Mekadah, the ultimate recipient.
Uh-huh.
Who's the ultimate recipient? Levi.
Right.
Reuven could have given it to Levi, but maybe he wants to curry favor in his eyes and he wants Levi to really start smiling and be happy. Oh, I'm getting a present. Can't wait to hear what the present looks like. That's why nowadays, if you give somebody a birthday present, you don't just give him the item itself. You have to go and put in an elaborate boxing, and then around the box it has to be elaborate.
How does giving it to Shimon accomplish that?
Because now he's, oh, really? Reuven gave me a prayer. I can't wait to see it.
Well, anticipation.
The anticipation. Uh-huh. Expectation builds. He starts taking a drink. I want to see it. Oh, hi. And then he finally sees, oh, wow. Anyway, bottom line is, that's, of course, just to make it more graphic and more
dramatic.
Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be, but that's the reason why he did it. He did it.
Okay.
Reuven gave it to Shimon, and now Shimon was Zoch. He says, yes, I'm here by Zoch on behalf of Levi. So far, so good. Levi is quiet the whole time. Now, Shimon, half a minute later, takes the document and hands it over to Levi.
Uh-huh.
Levi presumably opens it up to make sure that that's not just a newspaper advertisement to go and buy something or other. He wants to know what it says. He reads it, starts screaming. Question is, was he Kona or not Kona?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel.
So with Shimon, it would be like just zochen lo. Sure.
Exactly, zochen lo adam shloi befanav. But here was zochen lo adam befanav.
Right.
He was there. Levi was there. What you're referring to is you can be zochen lo adam someone who's not even present. Here he was present. The reason why that's so critical, as you'll see in a moment, why is that critical to the machloikis? Says Zimar. So where is the machloikis? Ki pligi shezikaloi al yedei acher v'shosak. Philip Soit Savach, when he received it, he began to scream. The Tanikama Savach Midish Shosik, since initially when Reuven handed it off to Shimon, why didn't Levi already then pipe up and say, no, I'm not interested. Shkoyach, sign him a ton of Sichia, take it back. Shimon, don't do me any favors, give it back to Reuven. Midish Shosik, Kadin. He was Kadin. In other words, just like if Reuven would have given it directly to Levi instead of giving it to Shimon and be Zoch on behalf of Levi. Just like we said that if it was Shosak, if Tzavach, Kuli Alma Moida, he was Koine, says the Tanakhama the same thing over here. Minish Shosak, Kanenu. I behind the Kotzavach, why later on when he gets the document in hand does he start screaming? Meheru the Kohanabe, he changes his mind. Everybody's allowed to quote unquote change their mind. I'm not interested. So that's just like the case at the top of the Amid, where we said, Kan Bishoitzing Mikarib Lasoif Tzavach. And just like Rava said in a moment ago, we brought here Rabbi Yochanan, that if it's talking about Shosik Luket Tzavach, Kuli Alma Loipli Yidakani, if Reuven gave it directly to Levi, or in our earlier case, Reuven gave it to Shimon, for Shimon to retain for himself, if it was Shosak, Luket Tzavach. Everybody agrees to Kani because initially when he got it, he was Shosak. Here too, when Shimon initially got it, since Levi was Shosak, it's obvious why was he Shosak? Because he was Maskim. When he takes it in hand, a minute later, 5 minutes later, he reads it, he says, oh, Matana, and he gives it back, he's Hodabet. No, the fact that he was Tzavach at the end, that shows his mindset already at the outset. Why didn't he scream initially? He said, Hash ad hashta. Why didn't he scream initially? Until I actually receive it, what do I have to scream for? After all, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Shimon will give it back to Reuven. Shimon says, I'm not interested. Maybe something else will happen. Until I get into my hands, there's no need for me to go and protest. And Rishbam says, it's not only that. He says, what do I have to make a fuss as if I'm, shaming him or humiliating him? I don't want your presence. Until I get it, I don't have to worry about it.
If it's worth it, I'll be quiet.
That could also be. If you look at the Rishbam, the second wide line down below, the middle wide line, that he screamed subsequently, that's mochiach, that shows al hashtika shebet chila, when he was silent initially, he didn't go and say, oh, thank you, shkoyach. He was quiet. Why was he quiet? He wasn't particularly happy about the matana. Why was he quiet? Tignai hi letzavach. Why should I? It's almost an embarrassment to start screaming. Mister, you didn't even get it yet. You don't even know fully what this is all about. You just know there's a document and there's giving him some sort of matana. What are you screaming for? It's gnai letzavach. When he gets in hand, then he'll say, no, I'm not interested. But until that time, Dai l'simcha b'shata, dai l'tzeros b'shata. When it happens, we'll worry about it then. So therefore, kum t'chois, based on from what we said at the beginning of the Gemara, until what we said now at the conclusion of this whole shtickle, there are three scenarios. Scenario number one is Reuven gives it to Shimon, and Shimon immediately screams, I don't want the document, I don't want the contents, I'm not interested, take it back. On the other hand, if Reuven gives Shimon a document and says, here, it's yours, hold on to it, because I'm giving you this nice matana, and Shimon initially is quiet, like shtika kohidah, and then a minute or 2 minutes later, he said, you know what, no, I'm not interested. Oh, so then he's changed his mind, since he's changed his mind, kuli amoy, that he was koina, you don't want it? Be mafkir it, give it as a matana to somebody else, give it as a matana to the original noisin, but it's yours. And then the third case is, and everybody agrees in those two cases, where's the machloikis? The machloikis is only when he gave it to a third party and he said, be zoche in this document and in its contents on behalf of the recipient, and the recipient is there, and he's quiet, and subsequently when he gets the document in hand, then he screams. So what was the reason why he was quiet? According to the first man, the reason why he was quiet was, he figured that he's interested in the document, and therefore the fact that he is later on tzavach maheder hu dekohadabe, he changed his mind. So it's like as if Reuven would give it to Shimon directly for Shimon. So when he gave it to Shimon on behalf of Levi, the same halach applies. If you are a shoysik v'lepsoif tzavach, it's yours. Shimon Gamliel said, no, this is a different case. The reason why he may not have wanted the matana all along from the first second. He says, what do I have to make a whole fuss for until I actually receive it in hand? There are other people standing around. If I'm going to go and say, no, I'm not interested, people come out. Quiet. In the meantime, bask in the glory that everybody's saying you're getting a matana and everybody's smiling with a drink of l'chaim, blah, blah, blah. When he eventually gets it, then he can protest and say, I'm not really interested.
When we learned about Kinyanim in Kedushin and again here in Nezikin, mm-hmm. we always talked about Gemiras Das mm-hmm. being the critical moment where Kinyan transfers from possession of one person to another.
Okay, good.
Is Shtika a Gemiras Das? If it's neutral, how can we say it's Gemiras Das to affect the transfer? Gemiras Das always seemed to me, at least, to be that there's a full-hearted acceptance of something.
Exactly.
Why is shtika equated now to full-hearted acceptance when it's not full-hearted? And certainly, as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel expresses, when later on it shows it's not even half-hearted.
Okay, so in the regular case, when it's Reuven directly to Shimon, without Levi being involved, you're right, many times when we're talking about Kinyonim, there's an Inyan of Gemara Das or Gemiras Das, 100% right. But the Gemiras Das doesn't have to be verbal, shtika kohido, that you have throughout Shas, shtika kohido. The fact that he was shoysik, and that he was nodding, and even if he wasn't nodding, the fact that he was quiet when he received it, that shows his intentions. Because if he didn't want it, why didn't he say, Mr. Take it back, I'm not interested, give it back, give it to somebody else. The fact that he took it for at least a short while, and only after that he screamed, is a simon that there was Gemiras Das. Gemiras Das doesn't have to be verbalized, shtika kohido.
But when a woman gets married, and the chassan gives her a ring under the chuppah, mm-hmm. she has to demonstrate that she accepts it.
Yeah, and that, okay, so let me
and
ask
her
you.
Her silence, I mean, she's there, but her silence is not considered, I mean...
We have had a chuppah?
Many times.
Good. Did you hear that the woman said, I do?
No, I see her. She takes the ring.
But she didn't say a word.
But she demonstrated her accepting the ring. She takes the ring. She closes her finger on the ring and says, yes, it's the Masada Kedushin.
So closing the finger, that's good enough.
That demonstrates
you put somebody puts a document in your hand, and guess what? And they don't find all this, and they hold on to it. So that's the putting the ring on the finger, that's putting the document in there. Okay. Same thing.
By a woman.
Yeah,
he does a whole
mitzvah. Oh, he does a whole mitzvah. What did she do?
No, but she's supposed to
be quiet.
She says nothing, but she's supposed to take. I'm always under the impression that when the chassan puts the ring on her finger, she closes it. She takes a kabbalah. Like,
is that true?
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm aware of. Right. She has to allow her finger to be endowed with a ring, but she doesn't have to clench her fist or anything.
I mean, wearing it, putting it on, accepting it, wearing it, putting it on, it demonstrates. I always thought that was sort of like.
It's like the first case. The case where we have Lamar where she throws it on the ground. Then that was a rejection.
That is as rejecting as can be. Right.
Especially in front of many guests in the
room. Exactly.
And humiliated.
Well, it depends how he gives her. If he gives a glolly buck or a glolly tzayin or something, I can see why she would reject it. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Agamar. So we concluded that shtickle, we start a new shtickle now. Tanur Rabbanan. Shchem Rasha Omer Tanum. Tanur Rabbanan. Shchem Rasha Omer Tanum Asayim Zuz Leplein. Ushloish Meyois Leplein. Varba Meyos Leplein. Person had $900 in his estate, and he's a Shchem Ra, and he says, Rabbi Yisrael, give $200 to Yanko, $300 to Beryl, and $400 to Shmerel. 2, 3, 4. How much does that add up to altogether, approximately?
900,
right? 200 plus 300 is 500, 900. Very good. Guess what happens? After all that takes place, a Mr. Shtar Choyv man, in other words, a Baal Choyv, comes and says, I have a document, and the benefactor, that Shchimera, owed me $9. Just make it easier. The Rambam makes it easy. He's talking about 900. 1%. He owes me $9. Exactly, 1%. Very good. So now, Einoimim kol ha-koydim b'shtar zoicha. Meaning that I might have thought, since he gave Yanko first, Beryl second, and Shmerel third, now his preference was that, for instance, what happens if I don't have $900, I only have $500. At least give 200 of it to Yanko, and give 300 to Beryl. And Shmerel is so sad, you know, there's nothing left, you know, the gravy train ended. Uncle Sam had to take its portion too, so there wasn't enough to go around. So the same thing is, since I have those preferences, if the Baal Choyv comes now with his shtar, I might think first, collect from Shmerel. If Shmerel has enough, great. If not, we go then to Beryl. And if Beryl has enough, great. And if not, then we go to Yankel. Says, you want, hey, no, imrim kol akoy to mishtar zoich. We don't say that.
When you collect from the telephone?
Let's assume we're talking about kakois.
Okay.
Okay? The Fichav says, Yotze Olav Shtar Choyv Goyv Mikulam. if there is a shtar choiv, you collect from everybody. And therefore, says Rishbam, if it was a $9 type of situation, doesn't refer to dollars, it's of a zuzim. Here we have 900 zuz, and it's 9 zuzim. So guess what? So Yanko is going to have to cough up 2 zuz, and Bera will have to go and give 3 zuz, and Shmer will have to give 4 zuz. In other words, proportionate to what they received. So he gives 2, he gives 3, he gives 4, 9 zuz, all paid off. But that's only because he didn't use the magic word acharov or acharecha. He just said 200 leplaini, 300 leplaini, 400 leplaini. Avol omar tnu masayim zuz leplaini. The acharov give 300 to the next plaini. The acharov and give the next 400 to the third plaini. That's a different story. The fact that he added that magic word, oimrim, not oimrim, he said acharov, is a chasimin that he wanted that initially it should go to Yankel, then subsequently go to Beryl, and if anything is left, to go and give to Shmerel.
So it all comes out of Shmerel?
Exactly, unless Shmerel, in our case, all 9 would come out of Shmerel. And if there's not enough in what Shmerel received, for instance, maybe he didn't get the whole 400, he only got 8 out of his 400, he cannot pay for the whole 9, so he pays the 8, and then that remaining 1 will go against Beryl, who got his 300. Now, what's the reason why, in the first case, we don't say the same thing? Says Rishbam, because we're only a bust of a dumb. We're not the Rabbeinu Shlom. Rabbeinu Shlom was able to say, Zohar v'shomer b'dibur echa nemra. This Shchimra would also have wanted to go and say all 3 together at one time. 200 to Plani, 300 to Plani, 400 to Plani. It's impossible to go and say all of that. But Rishbam says that it has to be in the one sentence. It wasn't, you know, 3 separate times. At 8 o'clock in the morning, he said 200 to Plani. And 10 o'clock, he said 300 to Plani. And then 2 o'clock, he said, no, it's got to be all in one, bequest, where he's giving everything away at all one time. So the fact that he gave precedence to Yankel over Beryl over Shmerel wasn't precedence at all. He would have said Shmerel first or Beryl first, but he can't say all of them first, so he went in order. But all of that is lav dafka.
He asked for this to be a shtar. Normally, you say, assume them, there's no shtar.
He just says Shomar. It doesn't say anything.
It's like Shimura. If it was a Shimura, I could have written it down.
Right. We're talking about Shimura. Right. So why are we talking about a shtar? We're talking about.
Guess what? We're not here. This case is not a shtar.
This is oral.
Shimura Shomar. However, if Avomar Tanu Masayim, the only star was the Shtar Choiv that came on the scene. Okay. That's the Shtar. So if you want to see the Rishbam briefly.
Eno
means we don't say lahalacha.
There's no star here, but it's like a star.
You're right. You're 100%.
It's a parallel.
It's a parallel. Good, exactly. These are the Rishbam. You see, Goyven Mikulan. Goyven Mikulan is 4 lines before the wide lines. Goyven Mikulan, in the first case, where he didn't say Acharecha, Sheher the Kulan Niskaven Litin Biachar. He wanted to give them all together at one time. He can't possibly go and say Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel at the same time, 200, 300, 400. It's impossible. You have to have at least some pause in between one and the other. In other words, you have to be able to enunciate each word, and you can't go and crunch together 10 words in one word. It's impossible. Okay, going to Shasim bin Taif, but in fact, it's talking about that there was no break in between. It was one continuous statement. The Hayne Nimlach, because that would already mean that he's changing his mind. He originally said 200 for Yankel, and he's starting to think about it. 300 for Beryl. Well, maybe the 300 includes the 200 that he wanted to give to Yankel. A Shchimara can go and change his mind 100 times until he passes away. It's only Kachsum Khtam Dami if that's his last word. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so in the first case, the fact that he left out Acharecha is a simon that he wanted to give them all equally, not the same amount equally, but the same degree of intensity. Yes, I want him to get 200, I want him to get 300, I want him to get 400. And now if there is a Shtar Choyv, there is no Koydim. We don't say whoever got first gets first. No. But rather, we get from all 3 proportionate to what they had. So Rishbam gives the case of the 9 zuzim, get from him to three and four. Avol omer tenu matzayim zuz l'plain v'yachrav l'plain. Oh, that's a different story. Obviously, his intent was to give Yankel before Beryl and Beryl before Shmuel. That's what he said, Achrav. And if there's not enough money, then only Yankel and Beryl will get. And if there's not money, only Yankel will get. If Shtar Choyf comes out, Koyv min Achrayim, in, Koyv loy Achrayim, ain loy, sorry, Koyv min Achrayim, ain loy, if the Achrayim doesn't have enough, Koyv min Sholofan. Ain loy, if there's not enough with both Shmerel and Beryl, then Goy Mishal Gayfan, and then we go back all the way to Yankel to the beginning. Good. So with this, we finish that shtickle. New shtickle. Tanabana. Shchimar Ashi Omar Tnu Masayim Zuz Leploini B'ni Bechor Karoi Loi. He added these two words, Karoi Loi, and as we'll see on the Gemara, the Amud Beis, these two words are very crucial for the Pshat in this place. So Shchimar has a B'ni Bechor, and he says, when he's a Shchimar, please give 200 zuz to my son, the Bechor. Karoi Loi, as he's deserving. What's the din? After that, the Shchimra passes away. Noit Loi, he gets that 200. The Rishchimra, then I do, besides that, he gets a normal Bechorah, whatever that amount is. However, what happens if he didn't say Karoi Loi, but rather he said, Tnu Masayim Zuz Leploini B'ni Bechor, B'Bechorosoi, in place for the amount of his Bechor Shaft, he's entitled to get a Bechor Shaft, that's a Bechor, I'm giving him his Bechor Shaft, I'm giving him 200 Zuz. Says the Gemara, Yoda Al Yoina, the Bechor, he has the upper hand, meaning he can make the following decision. Rotza Noit Lon, Rotza Noit Al Bechor Rasai. He has to say, Rabbi Isai, I'm not taking it in the meantime, let's first figure out how much the Bechor is really worth. Right. If it turns out that the Bechor is really worth 250, he says, Moichel Toiviz, take this 200 and put it in the estate and let everybody share and share alike.
Including him again.
Of course, exactly. And I'm going to go and get my 250 because that's what it's worth. On the other hand, what happens if after we add up all the estate, we see he's only going to get 150? I'm taking the 200. So therefore, Yadal Yoina, Ratzon Noit Lon, if he wants to take these 200 in place of whatever he would normally get as a Bechor, which is, let's say, 150. Fine. Ratzon Noit B'chay Rasai. If no, the B'chay Rasai is 250 and this is only 200, he can take the B'chay. He has a choice. The father, even though, says Rashbam points out, that we know according to Yochanan ben Broicha, Yochanan ben Broicha says you can go.
Parsha, anybody in the Parsha of Yerusha is eligible, any part of it.
Exactly, so you can go and favor one son over another son, but that's only the Gabi, the din of regular Nachlois for Pshutim. Because it says, V'hoya b'yoyim hanchiloi ezbonav. Darsh is a Gemara, V'hoya b'yoyim, when that person is about to pass away, he can be manchil ezbonav. He can go and give this one a little more, this one a little less. He can, in fact, disinherit all of his sons with the exception of one son, etc. But that's only the Gabi Pshutim. The Gabi the Halacha of Bechor, it says in the Pasuk, La Yuchal Levaker Espenu Ahuva Al Pnei Abesnu HaBechor. Then you can't play favorites. When it comes to Bechor, you gotta give the Bechor Shaft. That being the case, he cannot deny him his right. And therefore, if you want to give an addition to that, because in Tahay, so you can't go and give him a penny less. And that's why the Bechor Yoda Halyan. And now we have a virtually identical case. Ishti Karoila. Again, those magic words, Karoila. Give my wife, my ploinista, 200 zuz, which she is deserving. Once again, she gets both. Why? He didn't mention anything about it. Ksuvi just said, give my ploinista, give her 200. Karoila, she gets a 200, and she gets whatever the ksuvi is. The ksuvi is a nickel, the ksuvi is $1 million, whatever it is. She takes both, ksuva, and that's 200. Im omar big ksuvasa, but if he didn't say karoila, but instead he said, tu masayim zuzah ploinis ishti big ksuvasa, again, yoda aluhel yoina. She can decide. Ratzon noit lasan, ratzon noit telis ksuvasa. Which one is more? Is the 200 more, or is the ksuva more? So I know most of you are thinking, well, the ksuva is always 200. Well, first of all, it could be talking about almana, where the ksuva was only 100. Or it could be a situation where you already prepaid part of the ksuva, and therefore there's only 100 left. Or whatever the situation is. Anyway, so she can decide and say, this 200 is more valuable than the whole ksuva, if I want the 200. Or she can go and say, no, the ksuva is worth more. The ksuva has $1 million in it. All the toys of the ksuva, forget about the toy. So she can go and take the ksuva instead. Shchimra Sha'omar Tnu, now we're saying a third case. Here the third case is a little bit different, as you'll see. Shchimra Sha'omar Tnu Masayim Zuz Leploini Bal Choyvi. I have my Bal Choyv, Yankel, who I owe money to, but I want you to go and give him 200. Kara Uilai. Once again, this part is the same thing as we...
One second.
Don't be nervous. So this is the same thing like the case of the Bchor and the case of the ploiness of his wife. That what? Since he added the words Karoilai, Noitlan, Venoitlis Chayv. He can go and take whatever the Chayv is. The Chayv can be $1,000,000. The Chayv can be a nickel. He gets that. In addition to that, he gets the 200. If he said Bechayvai, so now until now we kept on saying, Yodi Al Yoyna Yet, and here we don't say Yodi Yet. Rather we say, Noitlan Bechayvai, then he takes that amount, Bechayv, period. Okay. Now we're assuming that Noitlan Bechayvai means assuming that this is the amount of the Chayv. Why don't we say over here, Ulti Yodi Al Yoyna, he can either take the amount of the Chayv, or he can go and take the 200, because of what Bill was saying a moment ago, because if the Chayv is Lemushal, only 100. And now he's saying, give him Bechoyvai, give him 200. Then we have a problem of ribis. We have a problem of interest. So if he just said, give Ploini, Balchoyvi, Karo'uiloi, then you can go and give him a separate present. Nothing to do with the Chayv. He identified the Balchoyvi because people have to know who you're talking about. There are at least 100 Yankel Smiths that we mention every day in the Gemara. So if he says Yankel Smith, which one? Yankel Smith, the Balchoyvi that I owe money. Oh, when you owe money to, we know. So since he happens to the Yankel Smith and he obviously have a good relationship because Yankel Smith keeps on lending him money, free loans, interest-free loans, that is. So, no problem. So if he says, I want to give him 200, Kuro Eloi, take the 200 and take the Choyv. If he says, Noitle B'choyvai, then you have to go and see the amount of the Choyv. He can't give him a penny more than the amount of the Choyv. And of course, the Baal Choyv is not going to take a penny less. So that'll be the amount of the Choyv. So now the Gemara asks. Now this
Wait, one second. You see, this is the same thing when somebody gives you a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to give him ribis, you give him a matana. That's ribis. It's the same thing here. The Ra'ui Lov.
It has to be under circumstances where it doesn't appear to be an additional payment on the... Yes. In other words, if it's the type of thing... What you're saying is correct.
It's about ribis because it's not like a nutter. It's not like a fixed amount for a fixed loan.
That's for sure. But even avak ribis is prohibited.
Right, yeah.
Why is the Gemara allowed over here? So you have to see that there are circumstances which show that, take for instance, the Gemara says that even ribis dvarim is osur. What's ribis dvarim? So the Gemara says back in Bog Metzia, the end of Neo Neshech, what happens? Well, thank you, that's questionable. What happens if this person is one of those brilliant type of people that you see him every morning and you say, good morning, what's so good about it, right? There are people, I know you've never met a person like that, because the influence of Brother Shai, everybody's always smiling and happy. But there are people, unfortunately, like that. Anyway, what happens? He never greeted him in his life. But now I gave him a loan. All of a sudden, every morning he says good morning to me. So I know why he's saying good morning. He doesn't say good morning to anybody else. He never said good morning to me because I gave him a loan. Oh, so that's called ribis dvarim, says Ingmar. That he treats this person differently than everybody else or than he previously treated him. So now, if it's the type of person that's not giving matanis to anybody, you're just giving matanis to the Baal Choyv, you're right, that would be very suspicious. We have to know the whole context. The Gemara doesn't go through it. It could be he's giving presents to everybody.
Shemar, it's on his last day of life.
Exactly. But you still have to be conscious about this inyan of the ribis. So maybe he said, all the people that join me every day at the daf, I'm going to go and give Brother Shai, and I'm going to give him. And by the way, Ariel, who I'm so indebted to that I owe money, I give him also a present, and then I give it to Brother Barry and to Brother Bill and everybody else. So the point of the Gemara is, as long as he's not specifying that it's Bechoyvai, he's just saying Karoiloi, that's okay. Now the question is, in all three cases, although the Gemara focuses on the last case, Bechoyvai, because that's where we just ended off, but the Rishbam and the Amid Aleph sounds like the Kashas on all three cases. All three cases means the case of the Bechor, the case of his wife, and the case of the Baal Choyv. He added the words Karoiloi, then in addition to whatever pre-existing obligation there is, either for Bechorishaft, or Ksuba, or for the Shtar Choyv, he gets a second present. Question is, why? Shem Dama Karoiloi, Noitlan and Noitlan is Choyvai. What's the Svara? The Dilma Karoyla Bechoyva come on. In fact, maybe the words Royla means what's appropriate. So maybe he's saying to the Bechor, what's appropriate for you? It's appropriate for you to get that double portion. Here's the 200 Bechoyva. Maybe that's what Royla meant, Bechoyva. And the same thing as wife. What's Royla? to go and get the ksuba, that this is the appropriate payment for that ksuba. The same thing by the shchemara. Why do you say that it's in addition to any pre-existing obligation? Rav Nachman said, Ha'amani Rabbi Kiva, that's the famous Rabbi Kiva, and now we go back to that famous sugya of moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher or ba'ayin ro'a moicher. Daldayik lishni yasei, Rabbi Kiva is the one that's medayik, any type of extra lushen. What do you mean? Tanan, we learned back a while ago. When the person sold his house, Yankel sold to Beryl his house, my house, $100,000, you pay me, done. And now it turns out that in the basement of the house there was a bor or a dus. Bor and dus are basically the same. One is bebinyan and one is in the offer. In other words, one is just dug out in the ground, since that ground was nice and hard, so it kept the water very well. And a dus means that the land was already, the soil was soft, so you had to go and put in tiles and cement to go and solidify it. They're basically the same. Even if he says in the document, I'm selling you this house, oimik and roim, depth and height, nevertheless, the bor v'dus are not included, because the bor v'dus are not considered to be from the normal residential usage of a house. It's considered to be these reservoirs of water are very important, it goes without saying, but they're not considered to be bottle to the house. What did the umka v'ruma do for you? Umka v'ruma, the ruma that you can go and add an extra ruma, an extra floor on top of the house, or umka that if you want to dig under the house and dig out your own cistern, or perhaps dig for oil under the house, that's umka v'ruma. But the existing bor v'dus are not included. Okay, so now the original owner of the house owns this bor v'dus, and he wants to get to the bor v'dus, says Rabbi Kiva, tzachlika klei derech. He's going to have to go and pay the Baal HaBayis not every time, he can make up in advance, I want to go to this, to your bor v'dus at least once a day, once a week, and therefore I'll pay you $25 a week, or $100 a year, whatever they work up, tzachlika klei derech, divrei Rabbi Kiva. No. He doesn't have to go and pay a penny for the derech. It's implicit. When I leave over a bor v'dus, I left for myself not only the bor v'dus, but also the derech to get to the bor v'dus. Okay. And we already explained earlier in the Masechta, like we said a moment ago, the machloikis is whether moicher bayin yofa moicher or bayin ro moicher. Rabbi Kiva is very generous, very magnanimous. If I sold the person the house and the surrounding property and all the rest, I gave him everything. With besides the bor v'dus, because bor v'dus is not bottled to the house. True. But the otherwise, he gave him everything. And that everything included a right of access to get. I didn't retain the right of access for myself, because it didn't say anything in the document. So when I gave him the house, I gave him the whole house, and I have no right to go into his house without his permission, or without buying a derech. The Chum say, come on, be practical. If you're keeping a bor v'dus for yourself, then automatically you have to have a right of access. Otherwise, it's worthless. But what happens if the document expressly says, I'm selling you the house, but I'm keeping for myself the bor v'dus? He didn't have to say that. That's automatic. That's the halacha. By adding these two words, then you do not have to go and pay for derech. The right of access is implicit and assumed. What do we see through this? Since he did not need to add the words chutz mi'ed, the ko'amar, but he added them, the tfuyimiltze ka'asi, so then they give him additional legal rights. Hachanami, the same thing over here. Kivin d'loi tzarech, since he did not have to say karo iloi, but he added it, the ko'amar, and he did say it, the tfuyimiltze ka'asi, because he wanted to go and add something more to any obligation that I previously owed him. So the Bechor, I owe him the Bechor Shaft, the double portion. The wife, I owe the Ksuva. And the Balchoiv, I own the Shtar. But in addition to that, Keroiloi, give him a nice present of the 200 that I just specified. So that Keroiloi is the Tzvoy Milze in all three cases. So now we get to a brand new set of halachas here. Shchimer Asha Omar, Mana Yeshli Eitzel Plani. You have Nebuch, a person on his deathbed, and he says to people sitting around, we're going to call Edom because they're going to record it and transcribe it on a piece of paper. And he says to them, Mona Yeshli Eitzel Ploini, I want you to know that Ploini owes me $100. Ha'edim koitzen. And the Edim write it down on a piece of paper that Ploini owes the Shechimra $100. And then ultimately the Shechimra passes away. So Avu Pish Ein Makirin. These Edim are allowed to write down what they heard from the Shechimra, even though they might not even know who this Loewe is. They may never have, even if they know the Loewe, they didn't know anything about this loan transaction. They don't need to know. All they are human recording machines. They're just recording what they heard from the Shechimra. The Shechimra says that Yankel owes me $100. They wrote down a piece of paper. The Shechimra told us, Yankel owes me $100. L'fichach, since they don't need to be makir, they don't need to know the facts. Kishu goyve, eventually when the Yoresh wants to be goyve on behalf of his late father, and he says, hey, Bezdin, I have a document. It says in the document that the Ploini owes him $100, owed my father $100. Tzorech l'havira, he's going to have to bring separate evidence, because this is just a recorder. This is what you would call just a shtar raya, but not a shtar kinyan. This is not a real shtar. It's just a recording what they heard from the Shechimra. Divrame. You can't rely on that. What you can only rely on is if you have a legal document from Ploini to Shechimra, Shechimra to Ploini. Exactly. V'chom oimrim ein koisen el im kimakir. V'chom say, no, Edim, if you don't know the loivin, you don't know the facts, and you don't know that there was a loan transaction. It's just based on what the Shechimra told you. Don't even write it down.
One way you can write, but the other way you can't. You can give us a present.
The Shechimra can always give away, right?
He's not giving, he's claiming. He's claiming.
You're not claiming, you can't. But give, you can.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's right.
Because you have it in your power to give it now.
Yeah. It's what belongs to me as a power to give away.
And you think it over. In case there's a guy that you have a tie now with, that I'm going to give it to this guy. I'm going to say that he owes $1 million to my kid.
So you're giving away the liability. You're transferring the shtar.
So you're creating a liability that doesn't exist.
That's exactly what the Chamar are afraid of. It's exactly. Yeah. Bill, you're. I agree with you.
And that's why, Bill, you have to come every single day because you always
tell you
add so
after
much.
After this year,
okay.
Why have that?
All right. Anyway, you don't have to tell me anything. But getting back to Gemara, v'chomam oimrim ein koisven ele im kein makirin. The Edom should not write anything down unless they know that these facts are real facts, that it's really accurate. What's the reason why? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily, Mishum Bezdin Toyin. We're worried that there's going to be a Bezdin. My father's Chan Ruch used to distinguish between major league rabbis and minor league rabbis. And he said, maybe the Bezdin is going to be a three minor league rabbis. Not the Talmud Chacham. They go, oh, see, black and white, there's a piece of paper over here. It says, yeah, that Ploini owes Shechimra $100. And two Edom sign. I know these two Edom. They're very reliable. They're very trustworthy. They're the highest standards of integrity and honesty, and they signed a piece of paper that the person, I'm sure, but they don't realize they were just recording what they heard from Shechimra. They didn't know anything about it. So we're worried about these minor league rabbis. You don't write it down unless you know the story. And therefore, if in fact the Edom did write it down after all, then the Yorish will not have to bring yet a second piece of paper, because since the Koisven, these Edom, would never have signed the paper unless they knew that these are the facts, the whole facts, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, they never would have signed it, so therefore it's truthful, you don't need another right. But we're not finished yet. Rav Nachman Amali Huna. We had before Amali Huna, again Amali Huna.
Why Huna? He doesn't
Rav Nachman him. And Rav Huna were contemporaries, they were Chavruses, and they referred to it by first name. Because they knew each other.
It's like Tarfin, like people say, Tarfin go back, or Akiva go back to Nagon and all those. It's Rabbi Akiva, but it's his peers. They
learned Mechamrusa many years together, and they were peers, and they knew each other, good friends, etc. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Lihuna, Rav Huna told me, Tana, in the Braisa, we learned just the opposite. According to the gears that we had until now, we said, according to Rameir, Ha'idim Koisven Avopish Ein Makirin, here in the Braisa says, Rameir Oimer Ein Koisven. In what we quoted to Tanur Rabban a moment ago, v'chom oimrim ein koisin, this new rise, v'chom oimrim koisin. So it's the exact same halacha that we discussed until now, but we have to change around the mandi omrim, Rameir and Chacham, he'll koisin, ein koisin. V'yaf Rameir le omar, even Rameir, according to this second version that said ein koisin, why did he say don't write it down? Elimishim bezin toin, like we explained, because we're afraid that the three minor league rabbis will assume that this is a bona fide, authentic shtar choyv. After all, it's says a malvim that aloyven, there are edim signed on the bottom, and it says it was $100 and the whole kisheft. So we're afraid of that, therefore, so the mayor don't write it down. Omer Abdimi Minedo, Hilchasa, Ein Choshin Lebezin Toyin, I'm not worried about it. Don't they think rabbis are stupid? When they're going to go and see the document, they're going to start reading it. Oh, we the Edom were there, Nebuchadnezzar's house, it was this and this date, and he told us the following story, that Nebuchadnezzar owes him this money, blah, blah, blah. As soon as they see that, they'll say, oh, this is not a Shtar Choyim, this is just recording a conversation that they heard and what he said, a monologue, good. So that's a loch Ein Choshin. I have another case of Rava where lechoyr we are choishish. The Amar Rava ein cholzen elam kin makirin ve'memanin elam kin makirin. You have a woman Rachman Letzlan who just lost her husband, and she has a yovam that's giving her a hard time, either because he says I'm not going to go and give you chalitza, I want to be miyavim, or because he happens to be behind the iron curtain and he can't get out. Or because he just happens to be a nasty individual.
He
wants a payoff. I'll be happy to give you a chalitza, but it's got to cost you $1 million and I'll give you a chalitza. For whatever reason, it doesn't make a difference why, when, where. He got a difficult job. So now what the woman says, I got a great idea. She calls her brother, or she calls a friend of hers, a male friend. Can you do me a favor? We're going to go into Bezin, and we're going to go and tell them that you're the oven. After all, if there are 10 brothers, any one of them can be the... It's Chachili, supposed to give the Bukhar, the oldest one. But any one of them can go and do Yimur Chalitza. Do me a favor. You come in with it. Sure. How much will it cost? $1,000. $1,000 is worth it. They go into Bezdin, and this person says, yes, I happen to be the brother of the Nifter. You know, remember I sat Shiva together with everybody else. Yeah, 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 I happen to be their brother. And I know that, unfortunately, my sister-in-law, Nebuch, he has a Zika, Yavama. Guess what? I'm willing to go and do the chalitza, and they go through the whole chalitza ceremony. If the Bezin doesn't know, what's going to happen at the end? After that, they're going to issue, or Edim are going to go and issue what we call a get chalitza. Get chalitza is not what it sounds like. It's not that this is a chalitza,
it's
but rather,
it's
a piece of paper that says, we hereby solemnly certify and affirm and confirm and verify and authenticate that we were there at the time that the Bezin performed the chalitza, and yes, she is a new chalitza, and therefore she's allowed to go and marry anybody that she wants. This would be wonderful for her. Nobody's going to ask any questions. I have a document signed and sealed that says, So that's why it says the Gemara. Amrava, in Cholzin, don't allow for a Bezdin to officiate by a chalitza, that they know the facts, that this fellow, in fact, is a real Yavam, not a fake pseudo Yavam, but this is the real McCoy. And same thing, in Mamanel Kimakir. When you have a woman that wants Mimma'enes, Mimma'enes means that she was married Midrabanon. How is she married Midrabanon? Unfortunately, she didn't have a father, or it was Psaim Bechayav, and now her mother or her older brother married her off to someone else. That's a good Kedusha Midrabanon, not Minatayra. Since it's Midrabanon, at any point, this young man, we're talking about that she's a Ktana, she's not a Gdoli yet. So she's 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, whatever. And her mother or older brother married her off to somebody else. So until she becomes bat mitzvah, she can go in front of a bez and says, I'm mimma and I refuse to go and live with this fellow anymore. I don't want to be married. And then the marriage is over. You don't need a get or anything. But they do write out a get me. And again, she should have that in her pocket in case somebody asks, oh, what's your status? I thought you were married. Is a get me and saying certified that I was mimma enes and we're done. So again, the Bezin has to know the facts. Lefichach, since a Bezin cannot do that, Elim Kemakir, and they can't allow for a Chalitza Me'enis unless they know.
Well, what could they be deceived by in the case of the Mian?
What happens if she herself is embarrassed to go in front of Bezdin, and she's afraid her husband's going to beat her up or something, so she sends her sister.
Okay.
She sends Sprinza. Sprinza, can you do me a favor? Go in front of Bezdin. I am married to Yankel Smith, and I'm Me'enis. I'm only 11 and a half.
She gets the star of the certificate under false pretenses.
Okay. Exactly, which is like the same thing by the Chalitza. It's under false pretenses. Right, so then the Bezin has to know exactly what's going on. Would you like some more? Yeah. Only if you want. Bruchim to you.
Thank you.
You want Coca-Cola. Anyway, so says the Gemara, Because a bezin is not allowed to do it unless they know 100%. Now, Edim that are there, like stenographers or whatever, that they're in the audience, they are allowed to go and write, they get chalitz, they get mir. Even though they are not makir, they can just rely on that best. Now, what's the reason why we allow, we say that ein chotz and elim came makirin, b'shem nechoshin lebezin toyin? We are worried about a bezin toyin. Oh, so here in the first case we said that we paskin like Remeya. Any Remeya that said ein koisvin el mishum bezdin toyin. Here in this case we say that, so what was the psak was? Hilchasa ein choshin bezdin toyin, right? Not Remeya. Om Rav Dimon Edo, hilchasa ein choshin bezdin toyin. You can assume the rabbis know what they're doing. It's fine. Here in this case we say, no, the first bezin should be very careful, so now that the Edom can go and write down the get chalitza, get miyun, even though they're not makir, what's the reason why that first bezin has to be careful that they know? What means the choshin bezin toyin? Because subsequently, if this first bezin did not know all the facts, and the Edom wrote down get chalitza and get miyun, so then the second bezin is going to see it. Oh, it's written by two Edom, and they say that this is a get chalitza, get miyun, and they'll assume that it's fine. So we see over here a stira in the original case by our situation of the shchimra that said that the Yankel owes money to me. We said you're allowed to write that down. Edom, don't be worried because ein chosh bezin toyin. A bezin is, give them more credit than you're giving them credit. They know what's going on. They're not. You don't have to worry. In this case, we say no, that the first bezin ain't chotzim kim makirin. They have to know all the facts and all. Why do they have to know all the facts? Because the choshev bezin toyin that a second bezin is going to see the get chalitz and get me, and then they're going to say, oh, looks bona fide. It looks bona fide, and we're going to allow her to go and marry somebody else. Is the choshev have a stira? Am I choshev bezin toyin? Am I not choshev bezin toyin? And for the gemara, like bezin basa beidina loy daiki, bezdina basa eidim daiki. Oh. If one bezin gets a certificate from an existing bezin, the Sachtas Rabbanim, the Stadris Rabbanim, whatever, a bezin issued
RCA,
that's the Stadris Rabbanim, same thing, RCA. Anyway, they issued a psak on a piece of paper, and the second bezin sees it. I'm not going to check after that first bezin, but obviously they knew what they were doing. So bezin, three rabbis. We are three rabbis, we rely on them, so then we have to worry about a bezin toy. That's why in this second case, when we had a chalitza in front of Bezdin 1, or a mean in front of Bezdin 1, if the Bezdin didn't know the parties, and they signed and allowed the stenographers to go and sign a piece of paper, then the second Bezdin is going to say, we're going to rely on them. We see the three rabbis, they allowed for a mean, they allowed for a chalitza, it must be bona fide. Oh, that's why we are concerned. That's why the first Bezdin has to be makir. Mashenkin, in the case of the Shchimera, what's talking about over there? There was no Bezdin that issued a psak. Rather, it was two Edom that were at the time of Ishchimra's passing. They said Ishchimra, half an hour before he passed away, he said that Yankel Smith owes him $100. Bezdin is smarter than that. When they see a piece of paper from Edom, they're not going to automatically jump to conclusions, oh, this is Kushab, he owes him the money. They're going to be Daiki, they're going to be Mitayik. So when am I worried about Choshen Bezdin Toyin? Only if it's a preceding bezin issuing a psak, the bezin better know what they're doing. Otherwise, future banadidinim are going to have potentially a problem. Mashenkin, if it's just Edom, the bezin will read it carefully and they'll see that this is not a bona fide shtar choiv. It's just a recordation of a monologue said by the shchimra in his home. We stop over here, Mitchum, to be continued tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zadke Ben, Zadke.